Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week's online video picks are up on our website. Each week we select five web videos, and I anchor them in a picks video on our site. This week's picks include Yoko Ono's reanimation of John Lennon to support the One Laptop Per Child program. Some people don't like John Lennon being plucked from the dead to appear as if he's really there to promote this, but Yoko did it. See that and all our picks at wnyc.org/video. We're listening to excerpts of our Martin Luther King Day event at the Brooklyn Museum yesterday, and we'll get to some Obama pre-inaugural events on the Washington Mall. We'll hear one of the great music performances from that in a few minutes. And we're taking your calls and your posts on the question, how are you feeling at this moment of crisis and hope? And how are you marking the inauguration? Post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll take your phone calls in a few minutes at 212-433-WNYC. Don't call yet. Be ready to call. Don't want you to have to sit on hold for a long time before we're ready for your calls. But this is our King Day meets Inauguration Day special here on The Brian Lehrer Show. And here's another excerpt from our Brooklyn Museum event. The guests in this segment are Columbia Law Professor Patricia Williams and Spelman College History Professor William Jelani Cobb. And I asked Cobb about the tension that he's written about between Barack Obama and Martin Luther King's generation of civil rights leaders.
What's happened during the primaries is that a number of really high-profile and influential African-American political figures backed Hillary Clinton, and many of them disdained Barack Obama because privately he had not kissed rings, and he had not gotten to the back of the line and sought the approval of what were supposed to be the established gatekeepers in Black America. And we saw those kind of themes come up again and again and again. And probably the most notable instance were the comments that Jesse Jackson made toward the end of the primaries. And so
the unintentional comments, I think.
The hot mic.
You're referring to.
When the Jesse Jackson urology clinic comments. But what Barack Obama essentially did was challenge their business model. And to say this very succinctly, we have in America, in Black America, in essence, a political machine. Machines typically operate when a new group of people enter the political process. They're very frequently based upon ethnic identity, and there are a narrow number of people who, usually through patronage and through ethnic allegiance and alliance, can dictate where a group of other voters, a larger group of voters, go.
You're talking about Al Sharpton. You're talking about
Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson,
Representative John Lewis. You're talking about very prominent members of the Black political and religious elite.
Right. And what's happened is that over the years, since 1965 with the Voting Rights Act, and we've had this large number of Black people who've entered the political process, they have occupied more or less a brokerage niche. We can direct Black support to you if you come to us. Barack Obama, just by his existence, invalidates that model. He doesn't need anyone to broker his relationship with the Black community.
So, Patricia, is that an invalidation of that model, or is that just an evolution of the nature of change?
I think it's more useful to think of it as an evolution. I do hear a great many characterizations of this, not that Jelani did that, but characterizations of this as well. The civil rights establishment finally got its comeuppance because this is somebody without that particular history or direct line of history from Martin Luther King. It may not be a direct line, but it is a line. And I think of Barack Obama and his wife as really our first, in terms of changing of a guard, he represents the first affirmative action generation. One of the reasons that I'm so distressed sometimes to hear people call this a post-racial moment, like suddenly we have, I can hear the bluebirds singing and the butterflies hatching as of Wednesday
kumbaya,
morning,
bright and early. Kumbaya.
Is that, this really is, this is precisely, what the world that I think that, that all of those efforts anticipated. Not as, as some people say, you know, the civil rights movement has not been perfect. It has some ugly personalities. There have been down moments as well as up moments. It's been a human movement. But I think that this, if it represents a break, it is no less a continuation of a particular kind.
Jelani, I wonder, after you drew the initial skepticism about Obama by the old guard in turf terms, he wasn't going through them, therefore they were going to reject him, at least for the moment, or tell him that it wasn't his time. Do you think now that he's elected that the agenda is the same? Mm-hmm. Do, you know, any of the names that have been invoked, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, John Lewis, the Congressional Black Caucus, do these folks share that vision that Patricia just so beautifully laid out as to what needs to be done? Or is that different too? And that's another thing that Obama maybe needs to overthrow.
Well, no, I think I also agree with what Patricia said earlier in terms of seeing it as an evolution. Just in pure political terms, some of the people who are, members in good standing of the old guard are indispensable to Obama, with Charlie Rangel being the chair of House Ways and Means, Jim Clyburn being the deputy whip. The number of these people who hold very important positions within Congress, within the House, and he's going to have to work with those people. So I don't think that...
Do we throw Roland Burris in there, too?
We can throw Roland Burris. I don't say we can throw him in there.
I couldn't resist.
In response, I don't think that... that we're looking at two completely divergent spaces. Where Jesse Jackson goes and where Al Sharpton goes from here, I can't really say. Although I will say the fascinating thing was almost like the Rorschach, when people saw the image of Jesse Jackson crying in Grant Park. And there were a lot, if you asked people about what they thought, you got a real read into what they thought about Jesse Jackson as to why he was crying.
All right, that excerpt from our Martin Luther King Day event at Brooklyn College yesterday, co-hosted by myself and Adore Udoji from The Takeaway. We'll hear more excerpts later. And how are you feeling at this moment of crisis and hope, and how are you marking the inauguration? Post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or call 212-433-WNYC. And now we're just a few minutes away from calls, so if you want to get on the air with your answer to the question, how are you feeling at this moment of crisis and hope, and how are you marking the inauguration, you can start calling now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Here are some other calls that came in earlier to our special pre-recorded inauguration line.
Hi, this is Eric Neal, calling from Manhattan. I will be watching Barack Obama and thinking, finally, there's a man of my generation, in his 40s, competent, accomplished, who is set to do the job, a job of cleaning up after the baby boom. So that's what I'll be thinking about. Thanks.
Hi. I didn't vote for President-elect Obama. I do wish him well, naturally, and I hope that we weren't charmed into voting for him and making him our president. I am proud of this country that we were able to vote for a black American. And although he has no track record really for anything except being very smart, wish him well.
Hi, this is Mary from Peekskill, New York. Day of inauguration, in between tears of joy, I will be at a party, and for them I will sing A Change Is Gonna Come, Sam Cooke. And also, oh my God, I can't believe it's happened already, these emotions. I apologize. Also, Nina Simone, the song Nina Simone made famous, Feeling Good. And I am feeling good and hopeful that this is a change that is going to come.
All right, Mary from Peekskill, not the only one thinking about the Sam Cooke classic Change Is Gonna Come. At Obama's Lincoln Memorial concert yesterday, John Bon Jovi and Betty LaVette, the great lady of soul, in an unlikely pairing, did it in a duet. While your calls are coming in, let's hear a little bit of that. They didn't even get much rehearsing in, huh? Betty LeVette and John Bon Jovi sounding pretty good in that duet on the Sam Cooke classic Change Is Gonna Come at the Lincoln Memorial Concert yesterday. We'll hear some more music from that as we go along this morning. We'll hear some more excerpts from our Martin Luther King event at the Brooklyn Museum yesterday. We'll hear Obama from his speech yesterday, how he kind of previewed his inaugural address. We'll hear Michelle Obama's voice and so much more. King Day meets Inauguration Day here on The Brian Lehrer Show this morning. And how are you feeling at this moment of crisis and hope? And how are you marking the inauguration? Our lines are full, 212-433-WNYC. And Sandy in Wyckoff, happy Martin Luther King Day. Thanks so much for calling in.
Happy Martin Luther King Day to you. Happy Martin Luther King Day to the world.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling fabulous. I've been working with since I was a teenager when I first campaigned for McGovern. I haven't felt like this day was ever going to come, and I'm so grateful that this country has finally made a chance to make a change.
How are you marking the inauguration tomorrow? Where will you be?
I will be at work. I work at William Paterson University in New Jersey. We have plans to have 9 different areas where students and faculty and staff can watch the inaugural events. Basically, if there's a daytime class running tomorrow, sorry, professors, nobody's going to be there. But, you know, the campus is just going to be rocking.
They should cancel classes everywhere tomorrow and let people watch the inauguration or just mount TVs or let everybody
that it's
stream
really
it.
An educational opportunity.
Yeah, or bring people together to watch it.
Yes,
in the classes. But they shouldn't be talking about Calculus 101 at 11:45 tomorrow when the swearing-in is taking place, right?
No, Sandy, not in my opinion.
Thank you very much. Adam in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Adam.
Hi, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Great. You know, I was an ardent Obama supporter. I donated money to his campaign. I listened to almost every single speech, read every article, listened to your radio broadcast throughout the whole political campaign.
And
I tell you, I'm not as happy as I was or excited as I was about the whole situation because I think he had an opportunity to speak out differently on a major issue involving the Israeli and Palestinian conflict, and he kind of didn't respond in a way that was consistent with what he said his political message was going to be about changing our foreign policy. So it's kind of hard for me to celebrate why people in Israel and in Gaza are going through, you know, suffering on both sides, and he didn't speak out any differently than our past presidents or our past foreign policy is. So it kind of diminishes some hope that I've had.
Let's see what happens once he gets into office. He did make a big point of saying that he was leaving Gaza and the rest of foreign policy to President Bush, one president at a time, and time will tell if he's different on the Middle East than previous presidents. But, Adam, thank you very much. Kara in Portland Manor, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kara.
Hi, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. How are you feeling at this moment of crisis and hope?
I am optimistic. I am so excited. I'm 33 years old. I honestly never thought I would live to see or what we're going to see tomorrow. And I'm very proud to be an American. I am more proud than I've ever been. So I can't wait. I'm going to be home. I'm going to have the big TV on and have my 3-year-old and 2-year-old watching. So
there you go. Well, what can a 3-year-old get out of it? Have you chosen the words yet to mediate it to your 3-year-old?
Well, she already, the 2-year-old can say Barack Obama, so it's really quite cute. But, you know, I've been trying to fill them in as much as, you know, they can comprehend. And I'm just very optimistic. And, you know, I know that there's a lot going on domestically and internationally. But just for the day, I'm you know, going to have a big smile on my face and just wish for the best. And, you know, I did vote for him, and I hope that he can carry through with some of the
change going to come.
Exactly.
Kara, thank you very much.
Thank you.
From
Bye-bye.
Our website, Rebecca from Oakland writes, I feel wary. I am afraid of Barack becoming more of the same, same old. Still hopeful that he might really elicit change, but he is a centrist and is very much in the center and not progressive enough. Actually, one of the clips that we'll play later from our Martin Luther King Day event at the Brooklyn Museum yesterday is somewhat about Barack Obama as a centrist. We'll get into that. Norma in Greenwich Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Norma.
Hello.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay, a little bit nervous, because I'm an older person. I'm 90 years old. I've been working towards this solution, this result, since I was 12 or 14. And all my life, it's been part of my life. But I am concerned about the current reference to the entitlement program. That it never was mentioned during the campaign that I can recall. It's only lately that there have been frequent references to the policy coming out of the Obama campaign, out of the Obama office, doing something about the entitlement program. And what that is worries me, because I, like many other older people my age group, we earned that Social Security. We need it now. I depend on it almost totally.
Well, Norma, one thing, I mean, just to be realistic about this, no matter what change he proposes to Social Security for the future, it's not going to affect today's retired person. Nobody who's making any proposal for change in Social Security to balance the books for the future is saying they're going to reduce benefits for people your age. So what I would say to you personally is watch the policy, but don't worry about yourself. You have nothing to worry about your benefits, okay?
Okay.
Norma, thank you, and good luck. Amber in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Amber. How you feeling?
Hello. I'm feeling all right. Honestly, I don't feel extremely hopeful. I just woke up thinking about class. I'm a teacher, and we will be watching the inauguration.
In your class?
Yeah, the whole school is going to be watching it.
What do you teach? What grade are we talking about?
Middle school.
Uh-huh, great.
Special education.
Uh-huh.
And the next day they're going to have testing. And they're going to have testing for 3 more days. And that's pretty much weighing heavily on my mind because, you know, I don't know. I haven't heard any plans that Obama's going to change the No Child Left Behind laws right now.
You mean there's some kind of 3-day standardized test coming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yeah, yeah. And for special education, mm-hmm. It's just so painful for them because they're made to take these tests, and a lot of them can't read, and they still have to perform. That's part of the law. They have to take the tests, and it's just they're just going to fail, but that's what the law is.
Amber, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Number of people calling, wondering if he's going to bring enough change. Paul in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. How you feeling, Paul?
Hi, I am feeling pretty good, thanks. I'll be going down to D.C. tonight along with my wife and a busload of other folks to celebrate and also just open the door on the new administration and make really clear that there's a lot of popular support for the kind of change Barack Obama says he wants to make. And also just to note that there's a little bit of a danger for President-elect Obama, in that he's got to deliver on enough to help keep people with him, because if that popular support goes away, it's going to be a pretty difficult time.
All right, Paul, thank you for your call. Good luck on your trip down there. Hope you find a good place to at least hear the speech tomorrow if you can't watch it. And we'll take more of your calls as we go along later in the program on how you're feeling at this moment of crisis and hope and how you're marking the inauguration. In the meantime, you can post your answers to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We continue in a minute with our special Brian Lehrer Show for today. King Day meets Inauguration Day on WNYC.